In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out this morning. If you will, open your Bible to the book of Psalms. We're at the book of Psalms. You already know, right? No. Go to Psalms chapter 1. We'll just start there in the chapter and just go through the whole book of Psalms. That would be good, wouldn't it? But I was praying back in December, and the Lord was dealing with me, you know, about some things in ministry. I was praying on December the 6th of 2021. Y'all remember that? December 6th, 2021. Is anybody around during that time? December the 6th, 2021. And the Lord was dealing with me about, you know, expansion, reaching more people, you know, with the message, with the word. Got to get the message out. One of the things that Brother Hagin used to talk to the Lord about earlier on in his ministry was, Lord, we got to get this message out. Sometimes he'd be driving down the road weeping, Lord, what are we going to do? We got to get this message out. Remember that? We got to get this message out. Because his message was a message of faith, you know. And he realized it's so important because it's going to help people. And so I was praying, meditating, and thinking, and I believe the Lord was leading me along certain lines to do some things. And we're looking into things. You know, just because the Lord speaks to you to do something and shows you about doing something don't mean you do it today. Don't necessarily mean you do it tomorrow. Don't necessarily mean you do it next week. Sometimes it might be a year or two. But the reason that many people fail to enter into what God called them to do is because they fail to prepare for what God called them to do. You have to prepare for things. And I didn't come up with that statement. I didn't look it up in my book and try to get a good buzzword or something that would, or cliche or something that somebody would like about it. The Lord told me that. He said the reason that many people fail to enter into His will for their life is because they fail to prepare for His will for their life. So just because He speaks to us and shows us some things doesn't necessarily mean that we enter into it today, tomorrow, next week. Sometimes Brother Hagin would be as far as 3 years out doing something that God was talking to him about right then. But he started preparing for it. He'd prepared, number one, in the spirit. You have to get ready. You have to be strong enough to take that place that God is putting you in. You can't just jump out into something that you're not anointed and in the spirit to deal with, because you've got devils out there that don't want you to accomplish God's will. Now, having said all that, it brings me up to this. I was praying, remember, December the 6th, remember that? 2021. And as I was praying, seeking God, it began to arise into my spirit about growth and about reaching more people and getting the message out more, you know. And I began to think about ways to do that. I'm talking about naturally think, you know. Not that the Lord had said do this specifically, but about things that came into my heart, whether you could do this, you could do that, and do this, and do that. You know, about reaching more people, getting the message out, having a larger voice, you know, where you're reaching more people for the glory of God, not for my glory, but to help people, not to help me, but to help people. And so as I begin to think about and look forward, first of all, I thought about our nation and the condition our nation's in. I thought about inflation. You ever thought about inflation? I thought about inflation and what's going on as a pilot and just buying engines and getting work done on aircraft. Things have increased in price. And the reason they've increased in price is because money has been devalued. But I thought about I'm natural just like anybody. I'm a natural person just like anybody else. And I thought about, well, Lord, I have this in my heart. I believe this is the way you're leading me to go. I said, but Lord, we look at our nation. Look at what's going on. Look at the situations. Look at the supply lines, you know, of products and all this kind of stuff. So I know some of my friends that waited to receive certain products for over 1 year because they could not get them. When I was getting a part for my aircraft, and this was in, what year is this? 2022? When I was getting a part for my aircraft, in 2021, it took me over 6 months to get one part that you used to be able to walk in on the shelf and pick up. Now, I don't know what Cessna's doing over here. Texron now, Anybody in here from Textron, Cessna, anybody? Yeah, I see them. Y'all getting parts? He'll get them. So that's my source back there. You hear that? You heard them. Yeah. But parts, I mean, just it seemed like it has slowed down. And then if you look at the economy, and then what is looking on, illuminating on the economy, and you'd be thinking, well, you know, should I do that? Because the Bible says what man's going to build a tower that don't sit down and count the cost first to make sure that he's got enough to finish it. That's not being, you know, a lack of faith. That's having wisdom. You know, God wants us to have wisdom. He just don't want us to obligate ourselves to do something or go in a direction and not think about it properly. So I'm thinking about, well, this is going to cost this amount of money. We're going to need this kind of equipment. We're going to need to add on here. We're going to need to add on there. We're going to have this facility for this. And I said, Lord, you know, even the buildings in our area, like if you go out and build them, if the dope people don't have them. Yeah, I said the dope people. But anyway, if the building is not occupied and the building is for sale, it's usually for sale for at least 40 to 50% more than fair market value. Now, where does that become a problem at? If you don't have the total amount to go pay cash for that building, then you have to get somebody to help you finance that building. When they look at how much it actually appraises for, based on what you're going to have to pay for it to get it, they're going to say, no, we can't help you, sir. Why? Because it's not worth what they're asking. It's not worth, and they're not going to get involved in that because they know that you, by yourself, can't afford it either because they look at your bank account. And they don't need another building. They've already got one. It's called a bank building. They're not in the real estate business. So when you look at all these things and you think about all these things, and I did, naturally speaking, said, are we going to get to Psalms 1? Yes. At least by Wednesday. We'll but this is good wisdom along the way, you know. And said, you know, Lord, should I do this? Lord, this is what I'm facing. Lord, this is what I'm looking at. Lord, that don't look good. I mean, in the natural, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to the Lord. So, Lord, it don't look good. Lord, I don't think this would be wise. Now, that's my opinion, you know. And the Lord's opinion is much greater than mine. You understand that. But I'm presenting it to him. I'm arguing my case. Lord, if we do that, then this has got to increase. That's got to increase. We've got to have income from here. We've got to have facilities for this. We've got to have facilities for that. We've got to have equipment for this. Lord, and it just looks in the natural, Lord. It looks rough out yonder. I mean, it looks bleak. Especially on this present administration that we have and our economist that's, you know, just over this thing. And I said, Lord, it just looks bleak. And you know what the Lord told me? Are you ready? Are you sure? Are you positive? I said, Brother Randy, you done painted so much a doom and gloom preacher. I want to hear something good. I'm glad you came. This is what he told me December the 6th, 2021. It was so good. This is what he said. Whatever, because I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about doing all this stuff he said to, and I'm thinking about I shouldn't do it. I should not do it. There's no way in the natural. No way. No, Lord, we can't do that. Ain't no way we can do that. Again, counting the cost. The Lord said, December 6, 2021, whatever you set your hand to shall prosper in 2022 as you are led by my spirit and walk in my way. He said, whatever you set your hand to shall prosper in 2022 as you are led by my spirit and walk in my way. Now, I didn't make that up. The Lord gave it to me to calm me down and give me faith. Faith comes by hearing the written word, but also you can get a word from God that agrees with the word. And that's what this does. Whatever you set your hand to shall prosper in 2022 as you are led by my spirit and walk in my way. So in other words, I just couldn't wildly do anything. Number one, I got to be led by his spirit. Number two, I got to walk in his way. Isn't that right? But whatever I do is going to prosper. So what did that immediately do? It calmed me down. The concerns that I have, I would call it, you know, you could call it worry, but we're faith folks. So we call it concerns. So the concerns that I had looking into the future, because, I mean, I've got, you know, enough sense to see this thing don't look good. And the concerns about, Lord, this and that, you know, and I want to obey God. He says, whatever you do and set your hand to in 2022 shall prosper as you're led by my Spirit and walk in my way. When he said that, it just dropped down on me. There was an anointing that came upon me. And I knew that there, it didn't matter how big the mess got. It didn't matter how many bombs fell. It didn't matter what got tore apart. It didn't matter how the devil scattered things everywhere. Right in the midst of it, whatever I set my hand to in 2022 is going to prosper. And I'm here to tell you, whatever you set your hand to in 2022 is going to prosper. I believe this is a word for the Lord, for the church, for you, for me. And it's an encouraging, because if we look, things look bleak. I mean, things look bad. Things don't look good. But right in the midst of all of that, all the turmoil, chaos, confusion, inflation, financial woes, governmental, political problems, Mr. Biden wondering where he's at today, you know, and I'm not belittling Mr. Biden. I'm not putting Mr. Biden down. You know, we went through family members that had dementia and people that had Alzheimer's and things, and we understand how they go. And it seems to be, now I don't know, I'm not the medical doctor, that he may be headed down that route. Because y'all remember Granny, don't you? Granny Walker? Y'all remember her? She got after Paul Walker, her husband, and she was the most godly lady you would ever want to meet in your life. But she started to slip in mentally, praying the Holy Ghost. When I'd go in her house, my wife would tell you she is here, when I would go in her house, Granny Walker, her and Paul Walker, that's what we call it, my wife's grandparents, we walk in their house, first thing I'd do, I remember she had a hardwood floor, always kept it polished and slick, you better not walk in your socks, because you're going to slide. I'd go in there and I'd pull my shoes off and I'd slide across that room and I'd kneel down on the rug and I'd say, Granny, lay your hands on me. And she is Pentecostal. And she didn't believe you was a getting it unless she was a shaking you. Boy, she would shake you and carry on and cast it in you and put it out of you and all this kind of stuff. I'd say, Granny, pray for me. One of the most godly ladies ever. Anybody would attest to it, not just me. But she started slipping just a little bit. Just a little bit. And one night, Paul, who's her husband, granddaddy, you know, Patty's granddaddy, was laying in bed and woke up. And there was Granny standing over him with a big claw hammer. Y'all know what a claw hammer is? And a frying pan. And she was fixing to whop him with it. Now, this is Granny. 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 Y'all remember Granny Walker? Godly lady. But what happened was that Alzheimer's was taking over. Dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever they call that stuff, you know. And so I'm not putting anybody down at all, you know. Granny did not know what she was doing. And so you can see the fruits, if you've ever been around it, you can see the fruits of it with Mr. Biden even now. Not recalling things, not understanding, you know, not knowing about things and then saying things that this just flat lies. And I believe what it is, he don't know it's a lie. You know what I mean? He's telling it to be the truth. Because Granny thought Paul Walker was some stranger that had come in her house and she'd been married to him for 55 years. You know what I mean? And she's going to straighten him out with a claw hammer. Now, probably earlier on in their life, he probably would have deserved it, but not then. Not then. He'd get a whop upside the head because he is a knothead earlier on, but he got saved, you know. So you could see, but you could watch that in Granny's life. The reason I mentioned that about Granny, Granny Walker, is because you could see it in those small increments coming along. And one of the things that really brought our whole family to awareness is that she was at my mother-in-law's house, Patty's mama's house, which would be her daughter. And my mother-in-law, her name was Mary Frances Thorne, mother-in-law was doing something in one of the house. And she was sitting there in the sofa, you don't know, doing that, what do you call it? Crocheting, you know, she's always doing something, carrying on like that, you know, busy, all the time busy doing something. Sweeping, mopping, cooking, whatever, you know, she just does that. And she just got up from that house, perfectly sane just a few minutes earlier, carrying on conversations with her daughter. Walked out of the house and started walking down the road, and the police had to pick her up because my mother-in-law came back and panicked. Mama, Mama, where you at, Mama? Looked in the bathrooms, had two bathrooms out. Looked in the bathroom, went out back, thought she might have went to the flower garden or something, you know, out there, ain't out there. Looked down the road, called the neighbors next door. No, we ain't seen her. So they called the police. And Granny was caught walking about a mile down the road on a busy street by herself. Didn't even know her name, didn't know her daughter's name, didn't know her granddaughter's name, and didn't know where she lived. So that's what woke up the family, and we realized that something's going on. And it may be that we're witnessing this, I'm not sure, you know, because I'm not a doctor, in this situation. But when you look at all these things combined and what's going on, then you could have a problem or have an idea that you could become concerned because of the problems that are going on. But December the 6th, what did the Lord say? You remember? Whatever you set your hand to shall prosper in 2022 as you are led by my Spirit and walk in my way. So it can come crumbling down if it wants to. They can scatter parts everywhere they want to. But I'm going to prosper in 2022. You're going to prosper in 2022. Now, any time that the Lord speaks to me and gives me what I call a word from Him, I know that the Lord spoke to me. He always gives me the principle in the Bible to coincide with what the Holy Spirit has said. Because the Word and the Spirit are one. They agree together, you know. And so He said, you'll find this in Psalms chapter 1. And that's why I had you turn there. And I had read this over the years, but I'll be honest, I hadn't read it in a long time when He said that to me. Let's read this. Book of Psalms, chapter 1, start reading in verse number 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, this is the keynote verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the Bible. Isn't that right? And the Lord just reaffirmed this as a promise of God to me straight from the Bible. But it goes on to say, verse 4, the ungodly are not so. In other words, this is not going to be the same thing that happens to those that don't follow after me, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what we're going to do, we're going to walk in the ways of the Lord. So he said, whatever you set your hand to, it's a little bit different than what it says in Psalms. He said, whatever you set your hand to in 2022 shall prosper as you are led by my Spirit and walk in my way. In other words, all the concerns, if you'd allow me to use it, all the worry, all the fear about what I'm looking at in 2022, in the political arena, roars and rumors of wars, what's happening in the nation, what's happening in states, what's happening in the financial realm, all of that stuff does not move me anymore. It can shake all it wants to. It can rock all it wants to. It can go under all it wants to. All around me may be sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock, I do stand. So even though it's all around us, we can't get caught up in it. We can't allow that to dominate our way of thinking. Yes, there's a reality that things are not good in the natural. But the Lord has promised that He's going to take care of His children. And He's going to watch over us. Remember when the plagues were in the land of Egypt because of the disobedience of the Egyptians and the plagues that came on the Egyptian people. God's people were in the land of Goshen, and they did not experience not one of the plagues that the Egyptians experienced. So this is not a year of plagues for you. It's a year of blessing for you in 2022. It belongs to you. So don't let the devil get you in the mindset of looking at what's going on in the world, because we can, because the Bible says that men's heart will fail them for fear looking at the things that's coming upon the earth. But we're not going to look at those things. We're going to look at the Lord, and we're going to do what He says. You're going to prosper in this year. Amen. All around you, when people start talking doom and gloom and what we're going to do and we're not going to get a raise and the company's going out of business, just start saying, I'm going to get a raise. You can go out of business if you want to, but I'm going to have my job. I'm going to increase more and more. I'm going to increase more and more. And you will. Don't get in that mindset. And don't get in that complaining mode about what's going on. And don't become an activist. And I won't get into that right now, but later we'll talk about being an activist. If you don't watch it, you can be an activist instead of a Christian. Yes, you can. The Lord talked to me about that. Had me share it, especially with ministers in a ministerial meeting. And others were there, but ministers, a lot of ministers were there, about not becoming an activist. Stay in the role that God called you to as a Christian, and let the world shake and rock and roll, but you just go on, because the Holy Ghost is with you, and He's going to put you over. God wants you blessed this year. God wants you to shine brightly this year. God wants you to have plenty of money this year. I said He does. That's news to me, Brother Randy. I know I'm the newsboy. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be successful. He don't want you to be worried. He don't want you to be concerned. He does not want you to be in fear. He don't want you to be weary. He wants you to be in faith and trust Him. Whatever you set your hand to in 2022 shall prosper as you are led by His Spirit and walk in His way. Yes, we need to incorporate the Lord in everything we do, but I'm here to tell you, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. He certainly will. He'll help you. He helps me all the time, and I need a lot of help, but He helps me all the time. So all the worry and all the fear, all the confusion that the enemy has tried to bring into the church, we just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Rebuke it off you in the name of Jesus so that you can go forward. Says, what about COVID? What about this? What about that? Well, what about the Bible? What does the Bible say? Amen? What did the Bible say? I'm going to just stand on the Bible, you know. Thank God for it. I believe God's going to take care of us and God's going to watch us. Now, if you'll notice here, there were some prerequisites to this verse that I got to in verse 3. And we want to look at prerequisites, I would call it, that the Bible encourages to practice, things to practice, you could say, in order for verse number 3 of Psalms 1 to be a reality in our life. Because He said in verse 3 that He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. In other words, you're going to prosper in everything that you do. But there are some things that He instructs us to practice in verse 1 and in verse 2 in order for verse 3 to be a reality. And you can see this your own self. Because when you get into verse 4, 5, and 6, He's just talking about people that don't do the right things. This will be the results in verses 4, 5, and 6. But we're going to do the right things. the first thing that he says about blessings, because he said blessed. Just stop right there. Blessed. Isn't that what Pastor told us? Remember? Remember he showed us the scripture. He said, remember this about sowing? Remember this? Well, remember this right here. Blessed. In other words, if you do everything that follows this word right here, verse 3 is going to happen. It's not hard. It's real easy, you know. Anybody can do it. If anybody couldn't have do it, the Lord wouldn't have showed it to me. Because he makes it easy for me. I lead it easy, you know. But he said, blessed. In other words, this is a guarantee that you're going to be blessed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, don't get caught up in the world's way of thinking and talking. Don't get caught up in the world's way of thinking and talking. I see it happen periodically, you know, even with family members, you know, close family members, others, because they'll get concerned. They say, you know, they're talking just like the world. You know what I mean? And I'm not putting anybody down, but they're talking just like the world. You know, this is bad. And I'm not saying that we deny that those things exist, but I'm not going to let the world and the way it thinks dominate how I think. And when they're talking doom and gloom and woe is me, I'm going to make sure that I don't allow that to come into my life and begin to meditate on those things and begin to speak those things out of my mouth. Because why? I want to be blessed. Isn't that right? In other words, don't get caught up. That verse 1 is basically saying this, and it means other things too. But it's basically saying this. Don't get caught up in the world's way of thinking or talking. And you could add to it believing. Some people believe for bad things to happen. They call them, you know. Call them on their self, so to speak. All right, so you got that. So we're not going to get caught up, what? In the way the world is thinking or talking or believing. And we're going to make sure that we secure ourselves in the right place mentally and actually saying words from our mouth. But this is also something he said for us to practice. Verse 2. Said, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, which just means the Bible. And in his law, the Bible, the Word of God, doeth he meditate when? Day and night. In other words, instead of allowing the thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, and concern to dominate your life, study the Bible. Meditate on the Scriptures. Study it and meditate on them. Now, there's three things that the Lord said to me in relation to this in verse 2 right here, also that we practice. Three things to practice daily. Number one, study the Bible. Now, let's talk about that just a minute. Study the Bible. In a sense, this morning, we're having what is called a Bible study. You know, anytime you gather together around the Word, we're having a Bible study. We're looking at Scriptures. When pastors are preaching, some of the other ministers are ministering, or whatever, you're having kind of a Bible study. We're looking and seeing what the Bible says. We're studying the Bible to a degree. You know what I mean? But the greatest help you'll ever receive in your life is when you privately study the Bible yourself. Yes, you need the help of others to head you in a direction, and you need anointing in those other people's life, but when you study it for yourself and you become acquainted with what it says yourself and assured of what it says yourself, that's where you're going to have the greatest faith in your life. Now, your question is this. Remember, you stayed up probably half the night. You said, if I ever get to that church in the morning, I'm going to ask Brother Randy this question. You stayed up half the night. You said, I'm going to ask him this question. If I ever get there, I'm going to ask him. I got to know this answer right here. And I might just grab him when he comes to the door and throw him down and hold him until he answers this question. And so now you want to know the question that you want to ask. The question you wanted to ask is, what do I study? Because there's a lot of things to study. Isn't that right? I mean, you can study about the creatures and you can study about the wheel in the middle of the wheel that Ezekiel saw. Said, what was that thing? Don't know, don't care, keep it coming. My God, let the wheels fly. What should you study? What should I study? Let's just bring it on an individual level. What should I study? Because the number one thing the Lord said do, give me just three simple things. Study the Bible for yourself. Yes, we have Bible studies together. It's what we're doing today. It's what we come to church together for. We study the Bible. We study the Scriptures. We encourage one another. That's what we do. We praise God together. We shout. We sing about the Holy Ghost. We sing about God, what He's done for us, all this kind of thing. We do those things. But the greatest help you'll ever receive is when you study the Bible for yourself. And remember, the question you asked is, what do I study? This is the subject that you study. The subject that you study, first and foremost, is the area of your life that you need the most help in. If you need healing, study healing. Don't study about the rapture. It's going to come whether you believe it or not. So study what you have the most challenges in. Study that. I mean, you get the verses yourself. You go through the Bible. And you take your time. Do a methodical study. In other words, reading the Bible is good. But when you read, a lot of times you're getting information. And what you need to do is get revelation. And the way you get revelation is by Bible study. So you study that subject, healing, finances, love. You know, if you have relational problems, you know, love. Study on that, you know, faith, you know, things like that. But you study the Bible. I mean, do a study. I mean, daily. I mean, not just one time and the next day change it. I'm talking about stay with it till you get it. That one subject. I'm not saying you shouldn't read other things in the Bible, but give yourself to studying that one specific subject till you know that you know that you know. You know what I mean? That's what changes your life. Now, there was a gentleman years ago, he's now gone on. I believe he was a Christian man. His name was Zig Ziglar. Anybody ever heard of Zig Ziglar? Now, I never knew him personally or anything like that, didn't know him. But he used to do seminars, you know, and they would bring him in because he was one of the greatest salesmen in the world. And just to attend his course for just a few days was $8,000. $8,000. He said, well, I'd never pay $8,000. Well, you got to see the value of that $8,000 before you'll pay it. And if it don't mean nothing to you, then that's fine. I paid one time, I paid $2,000 for three teachings from a billionaire. Excuse me. $2,000 just to hear what that man said. And he was a Christian man, but he was teaching natural things, principles. But I was willing to pay that because I could see there was much more value in it for me, you know, to help me. But anyway, let's get back to Mr. Zig. He said he would have these seminars. It would be about three days long, and it would be $8,000 to go to this seminar, not through a corporation, but through his own company putting them on. And they would pack out the place in these large hotels, ballrooms and everything, meeting rooms. And I discovered something after a while. And this, Dale Carnegie, anybody ever knew Dale Carnegie and read his materials, you know, and things like that. Not, you know, it's motivational type things and principles, you know, all good to you, know, and all that stuff. But what I'm going to do, because you were so gracious to come this morning, I'm going to give you $8,000 just for coming. Because I'm going to save you from having to go spend $8,000 to hear these guys tell you this one principle. Because if you get this one principle this morning, I'm going to give it to you free. This is what you're going to learn in all those seminars. You're going to learn a lot of things, but this is what you're going to learn. Are you ready? Are you sure? The only key to success is consistency. That's it. That's what you're going to find out in any seminar. You've got to find the right thing to do and do it consistently. Not haphazardly, consistently. One of Zig Ziglar's phrases was, that he was famous for, I'll see you at the top. He was always getting people to come up, to do something. Study every day, be something every day, apply yourself every day. I'll see you at the top. So if you went to a seminar, and you'll learn a lot of things and a lot of principles, and you could pay the $8,000, or your company could pay $100,000 for you to go sit with a group of people. But you're going to get this one truth, one principle. Consistency is the only key to success. You find what to do and do it consistently. Now, it goes along with right here, talking about meditating on the Word when? Day and night. Is that being consistent? That's implied in these verses, right? So the one thing that the Lord said out of the three was study the Bible. Now, study the Bible means don't just read it, but study it. How? You study in Bible study. What you do is you discover the subject that you want to study. Now, we had classes on this at Bible school. I don't know if any of us ever followed them or not, but they taught us what to do, you know. But what you do, and I do this also, instead of just like reading the Bible through or something, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Find the subject in the Bible that you need the most help in your personal life in, whatever area that be. And you'll say, well, I need help in all of it. Well, pick one of them that's a priority. You say, well, I got so many of them here, my Lord. Well, listen, if you come out from under one of them, the rest of them's going to be easier. But you got to get one of them working first. Find the subject, whether it be healing, walking in love, whether it be faith, whether it be finances. Find scriptures in the Bible that talk about that. I mean, the Lord will help you and get you a little study concordance or a promise book, and just read the scriptures in the Bible. Mark them, underline them, and then begin to do the next thing. After you start that study, number two, meditate on them. Meditate means to mutter them aloud to yourself. Know what I mean? And you may not ought to do that around your friends because they'll think, well, they already think you're crazy. But anyway, but think deeply about it. In other words, don't just let it be a fleeting thought. In other words, you take hold of it in your mind. Now, this will start in the human spirit. And I don't want to throw out too much this morning, but I'll give you another clue. All permanent change, begins in the human spirit. It don't begin in your mind. It starts inside and works its way outside. If you try to go reverse, it's not going to work that way. That's why people go to seminars and get all motivated mentally, you know, and emotionally, and they go like a fire truck to a fire, you know, bing, 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 for a day and a half, and then it's over. Because it starts in the mental realm instead of in the spiritual realm. All permanent change begins in the human spirit. So you want to work your way from the inside to the outside. Yes, your mind is involved in it, but it starts inside. Study the subject in the Bible you need the most help in. Number two, as you're studying the Bible, stop. And you take time to just meditate, think deeply about, mutter aloud to yourself those scriptures over and over. This is how you actually get into deep faith. What I mean deep faith, a faith that cannot be shaken. When you get it for yourself, can't no devil take it away from you. When you get it for yourself, no circumstance can take it away from you. Nothing can shake your faith. I'm not saying it wouldn't try, but it cannot take it away from you. You will walk in victory. You will do it. You will prosper. You will break the chains that's been holding you in your life. It may be even ungodly habits that you know that's not right for you to do. Find scriptures. Yes, and I'm talking to Christians. Listen, I know that that's just shoulder blades on your back instead of angel's wings. All of us are human. You can be a Christian and still have struggles. But they don't have to be there and dominate your life the rest of your life, you know. Find scriptures that you need help in. Usually I'd prefer you start with one area, even though you may have 2,500, if it's possible. Start one area. And what is the area? What is your priority? That's what you decide. And you study it. You start studying today, you study it tomorrow. You study it the next day. You study it the next day. You study it the next day. I said, you, the same day? Yes, the same subject. You study it. Not only study it, meditate on it. Because you're going to build a deep, strong faith that cannot be shaken in that area. And sometimes, I'll tell you how it works with me. Sometimes things just fall away from me before I even have to believe for or to pray about it. Because the Word is that strong, it will break the shackles out of your life. Because you're starting on the inside, working its way outside. Not just in the middle mental realm. Remember, consistency, that's what you're going to find at all these high-powered seminars, is the only key to success. You find the person that finds the right thing to do and does it consistently, then you're going to go to the top. Zig Ziglar's favorite phrase is, I'll see you at the top. You're going to rise to the top. So study the Word. Number two, meditate on the Word. Remember, meditate. Think deeply about it. I mean, take time. You may start out for 15 or 20 minutes. And to start with, I'll tell you, you're going to have, if you haven't done it in a while, or you just haven't practiced it at all, your mind's going to try to draw you away when you start meditating on the Bible. You're going to think, well, did I balance the checkbook? Did I turn the washing machine off? Is the cornbread in the oven? You know, is the checkbook got to be balanced? What's he doing now? What's she doing now? Where's that? What's happening on Facebook? What are they doing? I better look here, you know. What happened to so-and-so? What's going on in Ukraine? What's Putin doing now? What's China doing, you know? Just train yourself. Train yourself. And discipline yourself. And just have to stay with it. You have to stay with it, you know. Just keep your mind on it. Stay with it. And these things are easy to do. Easy to do. But don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes you struggle doing them because of all the outward circumstances and things that's going on. And then number three, you pray with your understanding, pray in your known language, talk to the Lord. Just like you would talk to me or your best friend in a conversation. You don't have to say the these and the thous unless you want to. You know what I mean? You don't have to. Talk to the Lord in a normal conversation. Let Him become your best friend. And then along with that, pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, you can begin to pray about things that you don't know that you need to pray for. You pray for what you know in the mental, natural mind. You know, you pray for that. And you believe God for that in your own tongue. But there's things that you don't know to pray about. And one of the things that I do is I say, Lord, I know there's things today that I don't know that may be coming my way that hadn't been revealed. But I'm just going to trust you while I'm praying that I'm going to pray these things out. And that your will and plan is going to take place in my life. And I begin to pray that way and pray in the Spirit. So we're going to study the Word. Isn't that right? In the subject area that we need the most help in. And we're going to stay at it consistently. I'm not saying you can't read other parts of the Bible. But you need to do a Bible study personally for yourself. Because it's going to build a deep, strong, unshakable faith in you when you get it. Then number two, you're going to take that Word that you are studying. And you're going to meditate on it. You're going to think about it deeply. You're going to mutter it aloud. You're going to say it out loud to yourself over and over, kind of. And you're going to think about it day in and day out as you go along. Don't mean you can't ever have another thought, because certainly you can. But put God's Word first. Then number three, Remember, pray with your understanding. Talk to the Lord like He's your best friend. In fact, I'll close with this and then pray in the Spirit. Because I could just go on and on and on, you know. But this is what the Lord gave me for this morning to encourage you before we drop the bombs and everything. But the bombs would be all right. But Dad Hagin was at a meeting one time, him and his other minister, friend of his, and they had went to this meeting. And they were staying in this room together, like there was little rooms, and it would like have two beds in it, and one would sleep in this bed, and another sleep in that bed, kind of. And so they was in the afternoon between meetings, this minister's meeting, Dad Hagin just went in, and he just sat down in the floor and in that room and kind of pushed the door to, not all the way, but kind of pushed it to some for privacy, didn't close it. And he sat there and started talking to the Lord. And later on, this minister come by that he knew that, you know, Brother Hagin was in there, and he thought he was taking a nap or something, you know, because he knew nobody else was in there, because the other fellow that was staying there, he was out yonder in the meeting hall. And he come by, and he heard Dad Hagin in there talking to somebody. I mean, just like you'd hold a conversation with somebody. And so he walked on by, down the, you know, hallway, and then, well, I wonder who he's talking to. And he went back up there, and he listened again, and he's just talking to somebody, just like you'd talk to him, me and you'd be talking. He was thinking, well, I know there ain't nobody in there. Who's he talking to? And so he kind of opened the door to peek, you know, and there is Dad Hagin sitting in the middle of the floor talking to Jesus and carrying on the conversation. So he eased back out, you know, and then later on he talked to Brother Hagin about that. He said, who was you talking to in there today? I come by that room and I heard you talking, and I come by twice, and finally I just stuck my head in the door and you were sitting in the middle of the floor talking to somebody. He said, oh, that's the way I pray. I'm just talking to the Lord. You talk to the Lord. I said, talk to the Lord. And then pray in the Spirit. Talk with your understanding. Pray in the Spirit. Have you been encouraged this morning? I preached myself happy. I mean, we're going to make it. We might not have been to Dale Carnegie's course, and we might not have been to Zig Ziglar's course, but we've had a Bible course. And whatever we do is going to prosper. And listen, let me encourage you. I'm trying to close, but let me encourage you this way too. If you slip and trip, don't quit. Don't give up. You know what I mean? You say, I meant to do it. I mean, I was that fire truck, Brother Randy. I was going. I mean, I had the siren going. The lights were flashing. Ding, ding, ding. I was dinging the bell. And all of a sudden, now I realize it's been 3 days, and I hadn't even thought about studying the subject, or I got caught up in it. That's okay. That's okay. Stop. Get back up and go at it again. Consistency is the key to success. Father, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing.